Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Welcome to Stu Does America. We got a lot to get to, but first, word from Ladder Life Insurance. If you're anything like me, you have a certain tendency to put things off until, you know, the very last minute. But the one thing that you really can't put off is life insurance, term coverage, life insurance from Ladder. Choose insurance through Ladder today. It's 100% digital. There's no doctors, no needles, no paperwork. When you apply for $3 million in coverage or less, you just have to answer a few questions about your health in an application. Just need a few minutes and a phone or laptop to apply. They got all the smart algorithms going on, and they work in real time. So you find out if you're instantly approved. There's no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. You can get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. So what's the risk here? This is something that's going to protect you. Ladder policies are there. They're rated, you know, A and A-plus by AM Best. So go to ladderlife.com/stew today to see if you're instantly approved. It's ladderlife.com/stew. LADDER life.com/stew.
Stu Does America.
Oh, we have a lot to get to today. We are going to start with the Alito recordings, and then we got this last minute kind of thing you might have noticed. The Hunter Biden verdict came in. We'll get to Alito here in a minute, but I want to start with the Hunter Biden thing. A fascinating day. Would I have been shocked if Hunter Biden was acquitted completely or a hung jury was the result of all this? No. But, I mean, the facts of the case were really, really clear. Hunter Biden obviously was addicted to drugs when he put his name, his signature, his legal promise to give truthful information on a form and said that he was not addicted to drugs when he purchased a firearm. He did everything he could. And it's like, there's some part of me that, you know, you feel bad for a guy who went through addiction. I get that. And I think personally, you can have those feelings. But, like, the guy should be held accountable for his crimes. And this is really the smallest of the bunch, isn't it? I mean, really, the gun thing is the least of my worries, frankly, with Hunter Biden. And it's important, if you do feel a little bad for Hunter, to remember what he did here. He not only lied over and over and over again as they were trying to get off from this crime, but also tried to blame the salesperson. This innocent part-time salesperson at the gun store tried to act like he was some sort of, like, bully that bullied him into a gun purchase. Because, you know, as we all know, we go into gun stores with normally the idea to buy breath mints. And sometimes we just all of them wind up getting talked in by a salesperson to buy a firearm. And it just happens all the time to people. So this whole thing goes on. It comes back guilty. The verdict was pretty clear. All counts. Three felony counts related to his purchase and possession of a gun. This has nothing to do with the tax stuff. It has nothing to do with the foreign Ukraine, all that other stuff. It's nothing to do with that. It's just the gun thing. We saw testimony from many of the ex-women in his case. I mean, Hunter Biden, I will say, seems to do very well with the ladies. He's always got about 15 girlfriends at the same time. His current wife, very, very pretty, by his side seemingly the entire time. He had a bunch of girls come up that he was apparently sleeping with. I mean, the guy's all over the place. At the very least, he's a busy, busy man. But he was guilty on all counts. Now, he faces 25 years in prison. He's not going to serve 25 years in prison for this. He's a first time, as they would say, nonviolent offender. So, luck, you know, there's a good chance he gets no jail time for this, even in normal circumstances. It's possible he gets some. If he gets some, we can all sort of understand what's going to happen here, because the second that Tuesday in November passes, Joe Biden will either have 4 more years or he will have a lame duck period where he can just pardon Hunter Biden. He's saying he's not going to do that. If you believe that, you believe anything. So my guess is that's where this goes if the jail time adds up. I think he's got about 3 or 4 weeks until sentencing usually occurs in a case like this. And remember, you know, it's funny to watch the reaction to this. I was watching some CNN. I'm sorry. It was a terrible experience, but I was watching some of that to see how they were reacting. And of course, what they're doing is putting it next to the Trump verdict and saying, like, well, Donald Trump was very angry about the rigged system. And you're not hearing that from Democrats. There was no involvement whatsoever by the justice system. This is Biden's own justice system. He's prosecuting his own son. Did you forget when they tried to let him off of all of this stuff? Did you forget when they attempted to go to court and say that nothing was going to happen to them and they were going to dismiss these charges and all of the other charges related to all of the other potential crimes? Did you miss that storyline? I didn't. The fact that they got caught by a judge attempting to do it in front of everybody is the only reason we're even here. But really, when you put it in front of a jury with these facts, it's impossible to not come up with a guilty verdict. Now, they will probably go and attempt to raise this up on appeal. There is, I mean, a moderately okay argument when it comes to the Second Amendment. I don't know that it will win in court, but there is a challenge, and it goes back to the Bruin decision. We don't have too much time to get into it today, too much to get to. But, like, if you go back to the Bruin situation, you can find an argument that says maybe this isn't right. This question itself might be unconstitutional. And I will tell you this, I care a lot more about the Second Amendment than I do care about Hunter Biden. So I'm not going to be disappointed if the result of this is we get clarification on a Second Amendment decision. Now, there's also the possibility that he gets pardoned and they don't challenge it because they don't want that to happen. They don't want a positive Second Amendment case. They'd rather have Hunter Biden have a conviction on his record than to give anybody the gun rights that they deserve. We all know that's true. There was a juror that called into CNN as I was watching it. It was juror number 10. He was interviewed about how he was viewing the testimony behind closed doors. And he said the trial ended. They went to deliberations the first night and they kind of did that thing that you do in a jury pool. And you just have an initial vote. What's your vibe? And the first initial vote was 6-6. So they did not have a conviction initially. They went home, came back, and things had changed. It was 11-1 when they came back. There was one juror who was holding out only on one count. They had unanimous decisions on the second and third count. First one came around as well, got the conviction of all three. Now, I will say it's interesting to see Joe Biden's schedule today. He had a bunch of stuff going on. This is actually a pretty busy schedule for Joe Biden when you look at it. He had lunch right around noon, and he went to the Hilton. And then, zoom in there, it says the president delivers remarks at Everytown's Gun Sense University. This is fascinating because, the types of laws that caught Hunter Biden here are the exact types of laws that people like Everytown and, of course, the Biden administration push for. They push to punish these people who, I mean, look, for all of Hunter Biden's problems, the gun thing, as I've mentioned many times, is the least of my worries. I mean, the fact that he bought a gun and maybe lied on a form, he should be treated the same way as everybody else. However, he didn't shoot anybody. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't commit a violent act. In fact, his gun was actually taken from him and thrown out. It really isn't that big of a concern when it comes to the grand scope of what Hunter Biden is responsible for. Certainly his overseas shenanigans, along with his tax situations. We told you about this. He's only getting 8% of his art proceeds. Does anybody believe that? All these things going on at the same time, and you wonder, what happens to these other cases? There's still the California case, but a little embarrassing, I suppose, for Joe Biden to have to go talk here, because really, Biden has been one of the leaders in punishing people for stupid mistakes. This wasn't a stupid mistake by Hunter. It was intentional. But this is the type of stuff that, normal citizens that aren't addicted to crack get caught up in all the time. Paperwork about their firearms. It makes people terrified. I can tell you this. I used to live in Pennsylvania. I lived one block away from the river that divides Pennsylvania and New Jersey. I was terrified to take my gun out of the house because, God forbid, you put it in your trunk or something and you go across that state line and forget about it, you go to prison for years. Like, it's terrifying. For a right, it is really hard to execute that right. But that is kind of the background of the Hunter Biden situation. I wanted to get you caught up on that. We'll keep you updated as we go forward. And, we've also looked at the history of the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden relationship. We've done a couple comedy bits that are up on YouTube, one of them called Letters to Biden Volume 1. In fact, we've got a brand new Letters to Biden out today to honor the conviction of Hunter Biden. Go there, check it out now. It's not up right now. It'll be up in a few minutes, but youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We've got a bunch of comedy bits there, but also the Letters to Biden Volume 2 is out today. Watch the first one, watch the second one, like 3 or 4 minutes long. Pretty funny. I think you'll like them. And it's a little honoring that relationship, that fatherly son relationship between the crack addict and the guy who seems like he's on, I don't know, ketamine or something to get through his speeches. So got all that going on. We're going to come back with the Samuel Alito, the latest in that ridiculous saga. That's next. We talk a lot about preparation on this show, and one of the things we talk about food, we talk about water, we talk about being, as we just mentioned, the Second Amendment, being prepared in that situation. But what about your medication? Are you prepared for a breakdown in our supply chain? We've seen them just over the past couple of years. I had a friend, I mentioned this a couple times, who had to drive 45 minutes to a store out of state to pick up a prescription that his doctor prescribed to him. And then that prescription ran out and he had to drive 45 minutes again to the same store to pick up his prescription a month later. That doesn't feel like America to me. And if it's one of those things where you need to get medication in a timely manner and it's not there at your pharmacy, it's not available, what are you going to do? What if your kid's sick? What if your spouse is sick? What do you do? Well, the Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. So you're kind of hooked up for 99% of the stuff that could go wrong. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. Just fill out a simple form online and you'll have it in case you need it. And they have all these add-on options. You can do all sorts of different stuff with this, but the bottom line is get yourself prepared. Be in charge of your family's health and keep it in your own hands. Jace.com, Jace.com. The code is Stu at checkout. You'll get a discount on your order if you enter that code Stu. So make sure you do that. Why would you not want to do that? Promo code is Stu at Jace.com, Jace.com. It's the Jace case from Jace Medical.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso Steuer.
Okay, let's move on and do the Alito recordings. Big news in the New York Times yet again today in secret recordings. Alito endorses a nation of godliness and Roberts talks of pluralism. Let me go through you the details. Basically, some left-wing activist went to a gathering where the Supreme Court justices were there. She secretly recorded them, trying to get them to say really terrible things. She got the tapes. She released them. The New York Times, of course, dutifully took them up and decided to make stories out of them. We'll get into that if that's actually like a legitimate thing here with this particular news. But if you haven't heard it, let me give you what was said on these tapes. This is Justice Alito. He said, "One side or the other is going to win," Justice Alito told the woman, Lauren Windsor, an exclusive gala at the Supreme Court. "There can be a way of working, a way of living together peacefully. But it's difficult, you know, because there are differences on fundamental things that really can't be compromised. So we're kind of at odds with each other. We can get together peacefully, but it's difficult to do because we can't always compromise on stuff. You know, it's tough to compromise on certain issues, like, for example, killing children. Do you kill the left half or the right half when you compromise? It's hard to know. Top half, bottom half, which side do you kill? We'll have to figure that out maybe in our compromise later on. Ms. Windsor pressed Justice Alito further. "I think the solution is really like winning the moral argument," she told him, according to the edited recordings of Justice Alito and Chief Justice John G. Roberts Jr., which were posted and distributed widely on social media Monday. "Like people in this country who believe in God have got to keep fighting for that to return our country to a place of godliness. I agree with you. I agree with you," he responded. So again, this is an activist posing as someone friendly to Alito in a private conversation that he doesn't know is being recorded. And he says, "I agree with you." When she says, again, "People in this country who believe in God have got to keep fighting for that." What should they be fighting for? Atheism? Like, what exactly should they be fighting for? If you believe in God, like a central tenet of Christianity is to try to spread the word of God. That's like really important to Christians. I know this is totally foreign to everyone who works at the New York Times, apparently. But like, can you possibly think this is a big deal? Who could possibly think this is a big deal? Goes on, the justice's comments appear to be in marked contrast to those of Chief Justice Roberts. I'll give you these comments in a second. Were they really in contrast? I mean, do you think Justice Roberts doesn't think we should be, that people who believe in God should be fighting for that? I don't know. Nothing in these comments makes you believe they're in marked contrast. But of course, this is how they set up every single story in the Times. He was also secretly recorded at this particular meeting. Mrs. Windsor said that the court had an obligation to lead the country on a more moral path. Would you? And he, Roberts responded, would you want me to be in charge of putting the nation on a more moral path? That's for people we elect. That's not for lawyers. I will say I don't even agree with him on that particular take. It's not really for people who we elect to lead us on a moral path. Centrally, that's for you to do, right? Like with your own actions. We fall down. We fail at that all the time. That's something that's very human. That being said, it's not for like, I don't go to Donald Trump for moral leadership. I didn't go to George W. Bush for moral leadership. I don't go to Ronald Reagan for moral leadership. I mean, that is, starts with you and your God and your family and then your community and your church and all these other things. The federal government and elected officials are really like, it's more like the people we try to, the only thing they do for us is tell us what we shouldn't do in our personal lives for moral reasons. Ms. Windsor pressed the Chief Justice about religion, saying, I believe that the founders were godly, like we're Christians, and like I think that we live in a Christian nation and that our Supreme Court should be guiding us in that path. Chief Justice Roberts quickly answered, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if we live in a Christian nation. I know that we have a lot of Jewish and Muslim friends who would say maybe not, and it's not our job to do that. It's clearly not the court's job to do that, to make some moral edict for every American. That's not the way the country works. Obviously, it was founded on Christian principles. You don't have to believe that a lot of these founders were, quote, Christian. Like, read their words, read the fact that, one of the first things that we did after getting through the Constitution, getting all that stuff done, was have a congressional day of prayer. Like, I mean, this is pretty central to who these guys were. They were all talking about a higher power, and that's how they believed we could maintain this country. It's all forgotten by the left, of course. Finally, the Chief Justice also said he did not think polarization in the country was irreparable, pointing out that the United States has managed a crisis as severe as the Civil War and the Vietnam War. When, I don't know if I put those two in the exact same category, but you know, there was some division, of course, with the Vietnam War as well. When Ms. Windsor pressed him on whether he thought that there was a role for the court in guiding us toward a more moral path, the Chief Justice's answer was immediate. No, I think the role for the court is deciding the cases. So this is their big scoop. That's not the whole thing, though, I should point out. It's not the whole thing. It wasn't just Alito saying that people who believe in God should fight for the belief in God. And Chief Justice Roberts saying, yeah, we're not really a Christian country. We're just, you know, we're there's a lot of different views here. Those are really exciting news, breaking news things. But they also got Alito's wife on tape. And this is probably the most fascinating part of the story. A whole separate story from the New York Times. Justice Alito's wife in secret recorded conversations complains about the pride flag. She did do that. Let me give you the entire situation here. You know what I want? The justice's wife said to the woman, Lauren Windsor, who secretly recorded the conversation during a black tie event. Again, they have to explain this again in the Times because this is another story about the same set of recordings. They couldn't have just thrown that in to the one they already had. They had to write a completely different story by the same reporter, Abby Van Sickle, which I got to say is a great freaking name, but she seems to be a really terrible reporter. Abby Van Sickle, though, I mean, that's like a, it almost was like the daughter of like a villain in some like, old school cartoon. It's Abby Van Sickle. I like it. I want a Sacred Heart of Jesus flag because I have to look across the lagoon at the pride flag for the next month. But Ms. Alito said after she suggested the Sacred Heart of Jesus flag as a retort to the LGBTQIA2+ community flag, her husband said, oh, please don't put up a flag. Is that the most relatable thing I've ever heard about Sam Alito in my entire life? Please don't. Like, my wife comes back sometimes, she's just like, can I put this very divisive political sign on my in our yard? And my answer to her is always like, well, it's your yard, too, so you can do whatever you want. But really, do we have to? I don't necessarily want to get toilet papered. But, you know, again, she's part owner of the house. We have a relationship, and I assume this is the same with Sam Alito. Like, she has the right to do that. I mean, she respects the relationship, respects the concerns of the other one, doesn't do it because you know, Alito, Sam Alito, wasn't in favor of putting the flags up, which blows up the entire story. This was his excuse, as they say, like after this had all gone on, Sam Alito said, really, it was my wife who did this. And everyone's like, oh, blame your wife, huh? Well, now in secret recordings by a leftist, his story was proven true, blows up all their reporting, their 20 freaking stories they've written about this, and yet here we are, as if this is still news. Now, Washington Examiner had some interesting facts in this story. Alito and Roberts secretly recorded in latest attempt to undermine Supreme Court. And it gives some interesting information about this woman who recorded this, who I've never heard of before, Windsor. She's the founder of The Undercurrent, a spinoff field reporting project, ties to the left-leaning Young Turks. The hilarious part about this is she says this is the biggest undercover story of her career. That? It's literally nothing. Sam Alito thinks God is important is your biggest story of your career? Good God, your career is a failure. Now, maybe it'll turn into something later in life, but good God, I mean, you're not even a quarter of Abby Van Sickle yet. And yet here you are bragging about that. By the way, other experts cited here, I don't see anything in here that suggests the lack of impartiality. Cassandra Robertson, a professor at Case Western Reserve University. I don't often agree with Justice Alito's opinions, but everything he says here seems pretty unexceptional. Pretty sure he would say and has said the same things publicly. On and on and on and on and on. One other funny part about the story is the flag. So there's the initial flag stories, which, again, were absolutely nothing. We covered them on this story or on the show. But there's the upside down American flag, which they tried to tie to January 6th. Again, I had never heard that as an association with January 6th whatsoever. Also, there was the flag that was the appeal to heaven flag. Now, that flag was also tied to January 6th. Apparently, there's two of them in the crowd of thousands. I've never heard that as a symbol before, and we can tell it was not a symbol of January 6th. How do we know that? Well, this headline from the New York Times kind of gives us a hint. Wait, we've been flying the flag the Alitos had? San Francisco takes it down. For 60 years, residents in San Francisco could have spotted the flag in a public pavilion just a stone's throw from the mayor's balcony at City Hall. The Appeal to Heaven flag was among the 18 historic banners that billowed over a central plaza in one of the nation's most liberal cities, where fewer than 13% of voters supported Trump. Few people, including Mayor London Breed, made much of the white flag with a green pine tree until last week. That's because it wasn't tied to January 6th or Sam Alito or anything else. It was a historical flag, and the whole story this entire time has been an Abby Van Sickle-sponsored lie. And here we are talking about it again. What have they written, 20 stories about this in the Times? They didn't say anything wrong in these recording tapes. There's nothing wrong with flying these flags. Getting back to being a godly country is not a bad thing. I mean, it's pathetic. I think we need James O'Keefe to have a media training session for these people to get people to say things that at least they'd be a little embarrassed about after. This stuff could go on their resumes at the Supreme Court. And by the way, James O'Keefe, his reporting never taken seriously by any of these publications. All they do is talk about how it's deceptively edited, even when he releases the entire recording. They don't take any of his stuff seriously. And here's a situation where, I mean, this is just a liberal James O'Keefe effort here. And they have all of a sudden 20 stories written about it in the New York Times. I don't know. Should we be doing this with Sotomayor? Should James O'Keefe hire someone to go talk to Sotomayor and see what she says on recorded video? That's not a country I want to live in. I really don't want that to happen. But again, what do you do when this stuff is going on? It's hard to imagine. And it's hard to imagine the media could be even more pathetic. The Times should be embarrassed about what they've become. It is really like, I mean, this is just one publication. I could give you dozens of other examples, obviously, on the left. But like, the New York Times is supposed to be the one that at least pretends to be serious. And now they're writing story after story about a flag that their own recordings now that they're publicizing, at least, are disproving any tie to actually to Samuel Alito himself. All of this is just nonsense. It's been nonsense from the start. And it's important to remember what this is. This is the story of the left not having one slice of power in the government apparatus. And this is how they deal with it. One tiny little thing where they don't get what they want every single time. And this is how they react. Pathetic as usual. Let me tell you about GenuCell. They have the Gen 90 breakthrough in skincare. This is GenuCell's latest. And, you know, what they do all the time is they work on all the stuff that you might not be so happy about when you look in the mirror. And if you've got, you know, bags and puffiness under your eyes, they can be taken care of instantly. Instantly reducing the appearance of looking older anywhere you use it. Around the eyes, the forehead, maybe crow's feet, laugh lines, even the chin. Never worry about your skin or your confidence again. Gen 90 technology is luxurious. It's paraben-free. It's silky smooth. And best of all, it starts working in seconds. And now GenuCell's classic under-eye bags and puffiness serum with every Gen 90 order. They have their luxurious GenuCell XV. This is collagen builder moisturizer with vitamin C, hyaluronic acid, and a pure natural base. Stunning results day after day after day. My mom loves this. My wife loves this stuff as well. Go to GenuCell.com right now for incredible packages for over 50% off during GenuCell's spring sale. And like, you know, this is a great gift. It's great for you. It's great for your skin. But also, if you got someone on your list, there's some present coming up. Great thing for GenuCell. It's going to make them very, very happy. Plus, results are guaranteed or your money back, so there's no risk. GenuCell.com/do. GenuCell.com/do. Order right now. Get a free limited edition spa box with bonus gifts and free shipping. GenuCell.com/do. It's GenuCell.com/do.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
I'm joined once again by comedian Jamie Kilstein. He's the host of Jamie Kilstein's anti-political political show and co-host of Trauma Bonding with Jamie and Alex. Be sure to subscribe to both wherever you get your podcasts. Really, really great listeners. Jamie, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thank you. I haven't had a wildly successful podcast yet, but I'm very good at titles. I'm like watching that. I'm like, says it all.
I will say that's a whole industry. They're just titling people's podcasts.
I think do that.
You should open up a new company.
Yeah, yeah, this is good. You like those podcasts are done. Yeah. I'm opening it. Now I need a title for my podcast title company, and then we're good.
Take people through, just catch people up with who you are if they don't know you, because I joined like the Netflix series, The Life of Jamie Kilstein, in like season 2.
Yeah.
I binged a bunch.
Sure.
Bring people up to
season 4 and 5 were rough.
Holy crap. No kidding.
They're bad. They're not good. I feel like I've given the story a bunch on the show and network. So like, maybe the new happier version is, and this is kind of what the podcasts are. I don't fit into a box, which is bad when it comes to marketing yourself for an algorithm, right? You either have to be extremely on the left, extremely on the right, extremely Christian, extremely atheist, extremely vegan, extremely carnivore, whatever it is.
Right.
And the more I meet people, especially, I used to be very liberal, very elitist, had Glenn Beck calling me a doofus on my resume, and didn't have any conservative friends, moved to Texas, you know, teach jujitsu with Tim Kennedy, friends with all of you guys. And I'm still in the middle. And I think there are a lot of people who maybe they wouldn't consider themselves in the middle because the Democrats are so corrupt or because they hate Trump so much or whatever. But I think when it comes to people, whether it's people trying to figure out who they are when it comes to politics or their relationship with God, it's a lot harder to put most people into a box than the social media algorithm would have you think. And I think that like the more I meet people at comedy shows or music events or jujitsu, you realize that a lot of the people that you've been demonizing are actually just decent, and maybe they grew up differently than you, and maybe they're just trying to figure things out. And most people don't admit when they don't know things. So like Trauma Bonding, we talk a lot about faith because I'm a new Christian, and
season 6 of the show,
season
right?
Season 6 yeah, okay. was the Christian turn. We got moved to the Hallmark Channel. But it's hard. We were talking about this on Glenn's show with you guys today. Like, it's hard, and I'm struggling, and it's like the idea that I would go from a liberal to suddenly just being cocky and trying to be, I'm a Christian influencer now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Me and my Christian wife, and we didn't touch each other until we got married. Like, that would be insane. I would so much rather not be able to fit into a box, probably make less money, and be like, here are the questions I still have. Here's where I'm struggling. Like, the first episode was all about a faith crisis I had. I'm still in it. Mm. Even today, after I went on Glenn's show and this show, you know, I tweeted about Hunter Biden, but I had something a little more liberal I was going to tweet. And I'm like, but I got all these new followers from Glenn's. It's like, no, you can't censor how you feel. And I think the more people are authentic, the more we'll actually be able to find commonality, even if we disagree. And you can disagree. That's fine.
I think, too, like, you listen to some, and this happens with every genre. I don't mean to beat up on Christian influencers.
Yeah, please.
Many of them are just fantastic people. But, like, they also are almost too fantastic. Like, they're definitely better than me. They're all awesome. They all have these great lives. They are all perfect. They seem to know everything. Like,
but
you, for lack of a better description, you don't have those issues. You've gone through all sorts of crap in your life.
Sure. Yeah, I've never had abs. I've never had abs. I feel like that. When I first walked into church and I was single, I felt like suddenly there were like no single people. I felt like a creep on a playground. It was just these like gorgeous white couples who had like five kids named Madison, and they just got back from like their pumpkin patch like photo shoot or whatever. And I was just like, oh my God. Yeah. But I think that's good, right? That's who Jesus went after, was kind of the misfits. And I've gotten crap from, well, first of all, a lot of those influencers we've seen are not as perfect as you think, right? Mm-hmm. Or they struggle. But also, you know, when I get crap for cursing or for, you know, I said the other day on Instagram that, like, I read a Buddhist book, and people are like, Jesus is a jealous God. And it's like, I don't want to pretend that I have it all figured out. And I think a lot of times influencers in any category, they have to pretend to be sort of infallible and I have the answers. And like, I don't. And there's going to be a lot of stuff I'm wrong about. And there's going to be some stuff I'm right about. And I think that that's like a really healthy place to be. And my hope is, so many people have been burnt by the church or were raised by, you know, emotionally abusive parents or pastors, and just everything you're doing, you're going to go to hell. You know, I want to be a sort of like, let me be a gateway drug to Jesus, essentially. Right?
That's great. That's a great thing, though. It's really needed.
I think so. And to me, the people who would give me grief, or, you know, Russell Brand or someone like that, it's just like, you're missing the point. You know, the Pharisees who Jesus flipped the tables at, they were the ones who would not bend the rules. And those weren't the ones that Jesus wanted to hang out with. Jesus was hanging out with, like, the screw-ups. Not now. With that said, I still hold myself to a higher standard now that I am Christian. Like, I'm not just gonna be like, well, I'm a screw up forever, so like, I guess I can like cheat on my wife because King David did, or I guess I can do this. Like, I am just like desperately clawing every day to be a better person. So it's not an excuse, but I'm like, I wasn't raised in the church. I can't quote the Bible very well. And hopefully that makes people feel like, oh, maybe there are Christians who, I want to lead by example, right? And I would rather someone go, oh, that dude's Christian, like, he's really nice, or he's really funny, or he helped me at the jiu-jitsu gym, or like, oh, he seemed open, but he's kind of still liberal, but he went on Stu's show. Like, I would rather them go, that makes sense, he's Christian, then go like, geez, okay, we get it, you're Christian.
Right.
Because I made that mistake with politics before, and I don't want to do that either. And again, it's frustrating because I would make a lot more money if I just dove in headfirst with that. But you know, there's got to be a season 7, man. I gotta keep you on your toes.
Right. So tell me about the podcast you're doing with your wife. This is an interesting project because as I think about it, it's like, it's got to leave you in a really vulnerable place, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about trauma bonding is the name of the title, the name of the show. You're talking about this with your wife. How long have you been married?
Only a couple months.
A couple months?
Yeah.
Do you know what you're jumping into?
Yeah, so if you're in Austin and you get married, you have to legally have a podcast within, I think it's 2 to 3 months.
Is that right? Yeah.
That makes sense. You have to, yeah.
That's city law.
We even have a segment called Alex and Jamie's fight of the week. And it's like, dude, it's so cathartic. Yeah. Because, you know, it's our first year of marriage. She was a lifelong Christian, but has like a lot of baggage from it. I'm a new Christian. We got married very fast. It's great. It's great. Because I
feel totally different for you, though. This is different than anything you've done in your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But to me, a lot of the relationships I've been in that have exploded, they started off, you know, a lot of people, when they get in relationships, they sort of hide who they really are, whether it's on purpose or by accident. It's the greatest hits, right? I mean, God.
That's an interesting way of talking about it. Like, what do you mean by that, the greatest hits?
Well, you go on your first date and you're like, here's all the good stuff.
Here's all my great stories.
Yeah.
Here's my hilarious tales.
I feel like it was like a couple, like a month before she even knew I knew Robin Williams. Like, I didn't tell her the cool stories. First date was like, and then the second time I tried to kill myself. Like, it was like.
If she stuck through that, though.
Kind of. Yeah. It's sort of like, hey, this is it. Yeah. Like, how do you feel about it? And so with the podcast, it's almost like forcing communication. But also you're doing it in this really lighthearted way. Because when you're on a podcast, especially as like a comedian, and I consider her a comedian, she's so funny. It's like, we're not going to get passive aggressive and start bickering. Like, we've worked through the fight already. So then what's funny is that there have been, I've been like coming up with the fight of the week. And there are times where I'm like, oh, that time she was, you know, she was a whatever. She screwed up and I'm going to look good on this. And then as I'm talking about it, I'm like, oh, I did that. And because I'm a comic and I have a microphone in front of me and I really like do want to be on, it makes me actually take more responsibility, because no one wants to sit around and hear like a guy be mean to his wife on a podcast.
Right.
Like
right.
That sounds like a weird audience.
Yeah.
But me realizing like, oh, I was wrong. And then getting to make fun of myself, I think, I don't know, maybe it'll teach couples how to communicate better or use humor to do it. But it takes lack of ego for both of us. And so we want to take mental health and we want to take faith and make it sort of as non-preachy as possible. Like, we give advice. I think the advice is very good, but it's also like you're sitting around with your friends and you can actually vent about your issues without fear of judgment, because chances are like I've done worse.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's the goal of that show.
Give me, we got about a minute and a half left here. The anti-political show is your other show. I thought it was interesting a day like today. You have the Hunter Biden verdict.
Yeah. Right?
Like, you've gone through these addiction issues.
Yeah.
He's got more than that going on.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that?
You know, I mean, it was funny. It was a real where were you moment, because I was with you and Glenn when the news broke. And
strange turn in your life.
It's interesting because my instinct is always to, this is from my liberal days, to mock the powerful, right? Where you go, oh, he's just like this like Nepo baby screw up. He like could get away with whatever he wanted. And, you know, I do believe that. I think that like there's a certain amount of power you have and you can get away with stuff that like I couldn't get away with, or like a young black kid couldn't get away with, or whatever.
There's a little succession son.
Totally, just like way less likable. And but then at the same time, like Jesus Jamie is sort of like, well, what I used to do was just attack people like that so I could feel better about myself. And so now I can go, I mean, the dude needs to be held accountable.
Right.
He clearly had many chances, did not learn his lesson. And you can pray for someone or wish the best for someone just because his dad is like some dorky politician you hate. You know, addiction is like crippling. Mm-hmm. And while I don't want to defend someone for being like so, so privileged, there's also like, there's a real dark side to that where you're that powerful. I've been around people who are that famous and have addiction, and they're surrounded by agents and hanger-ons and all these people, and they're just enabling. Mm. So you don't know, you know, the dark stuff he went through or who's around him, and that is not to defend him. Like, wouldn't want to be friends with that guy. And I think it's okay to say, I also hope he is okay.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's the right way to handle it, I think. I mean, because you don't just blow it off. He needs to be held accountable for what he did.
Yeah, well, and especially because of the power, because of the hypocrisy, because of the way, I mean, even seeing people on the left who were just trashing Trump last week for his conviction get so mad if anyone trashes Hunter Biden.
Right.
And you go, you can't just be this like vindictive, no forgiveness person when it's when it's not your team.
Right.
You know what I mean? You, if you're against cancel culture or you're like, be cool to everybody.
Yeah. All right. Let me pitch the podcast one more time. You've got the anti-political show. You've got Trauma Bonding with Alex and Jamie.
Yeah. And you can go to jamiekilsteinpodcast.com and they're the direct, because right now it's just on YouTube. So jamiekilsteinpodcast.com or my social media, and then the links will be there.
Yeah, go there and subscribe. Really, really funny and interesting stuff. Jamie, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it. Since 2007, Folds of Honor has provided life-changing scholarships to the spouses and children of America's fallen or disabled in combat. And in 2023, it was extended to include families of fallen first responders. They've awarded 51,000 scholarships and more than $200 million so far. And the need is great, but together, we can still make sure no qualified applicant is turned away. I tell you all this because Flying Ace has aligned with Folds of Honor to ensure the children of American heroes receive the education they deserve. As proud supporters of Folds of Honor, I love this because they give us a little rundown of what we're supposed to say in these little commercials. And like Flying Ace tells you all about Folds of Honor first, because that seems to be what they actually care about. But Flying Ace is also a company that's going to give you delicious spirits, drinks that you will adore. Sorry, Jamie, not necessarily for Jamie, but for many, many others in the audience. If you want a delicious adult beverage and you want to support a fantastic organization, you're going to love this partnership. Flying Ace is proudly sponsoring 4 scholarships awarded quarterly this year. If you can, donate today. Help them make a great impact. Go to flyingacespirits.com or scan the QR code we've got up on the screen right now. The link is also in the show notes. When you purchase a bottle of Flying Ace, you'll also be donating to Folds of Honor. Make sure you use the promo code America. You get free shipping on every order. It's flyingacespirits.com. Flyingacespirits.com. Promo code is America. Democracy in action. Yes, the DNC, they care so much about democracy. And that's why, of course, they're suing to keep Robert F. Kennedy Jr. off the ballot in New York, a state which, I mean, let's be honest about it, they almost can't possibly lose. They're using resources to try to get RFK Jr. off of a ballot in a state which it would be, I mean, if they were to even be close in New York, they've lost this election by so much already, none of it could possibly matter. Yet, here they are doing this anyway. Why? Because they freaking hate the democracy they supposedly say they love. Now, another part of the RFK saga is him trying to get into this debate. He needs to get 4 polls of 15% or more and have enough ballot access for 270 electoral votes. He claims now he has that much access, and he's going to try to get into this debate. 2 problems with this. Number one, he doesn't have the 4th poll yet. He only has 3 polls with him over 15%. As I said, I don't like RFK Jr. at all. I don't think he would be a good president at all. I don't like anything about him. However, I don't know. He's at 10, 12% in these polls. I feel like he should be in the debate. I mean, give people a choice. Let them make the decision. The other part of that is he doesn't have that much access. He's claiming this. It has not been certified by the states. DDHQ, which is a good service, they look into a lot of this stuff. And they confirm only 5 states in which RFK Jr. has qualified, giving him 40 electoral votes. So he's not really all that close. Finally, Senator John Fetterman, his wife, Giselle, involved in a crash on a Maryland interstate. He's okay. Both of them are okay. I had a bruised shoulder. Nothing big going on there. The one thing I will say is this. There is one troubling sentence here. And again, Fetterman's been great on Israel. He's been great on some other stuff. His voting record still sucks. He's terrible. He's still a leftist. But, you know, he's been good on a couple of things. This sentence is bothersome, though. According to officials, the Traverse, which Fetterman was driving, hit the back of the Impala. So likely his fault. The problem with that is, which Fetterman was driving? They're letting this guy, like, out on the roads driving cars? I mean, I'm glad he can speak again. I'm glad he's, like, sane on Israel, has been right on a couple of things. But good God, if you are in the Washington, D.C. or Pennsylvania areas, you may want to consider staying in for a few years, because him on the roads, not a good formula. Got a really important documentary coming up this week. I don't know when it actually comes out. I think, is it tomorrow? I don't know. It's this week. Thursday. Okay. Thursday is when it comes out. It's Sarah Gonzalez is actually the host of it. It's the new one from Blaze Originals, Voter Fraud Exposed, How Elections can be stolen. First of all, it's a badass picture of Sarah in the I like. She looks very serious there. I'm gonna have to ask. We should get her on tomorrow to talk about this because this is something where she went to Michigan and looked at the way they've changed the laws there since 2020. This is not about like rehashing the past. This is about like an issue coming up here in this next election. Where are we vulnerable in our election systems? She goes through that in the Blaze Originals. By the way, you can save on a subscription if you go to blazeoriginals.com/stew. Use the code voterfraud and save $30.